Hi, my name is Sachin Chokse. I'm a partner in crime.
Darwin Schweitzer.
Darwin Schweitzer, yeah. I'm an engineering manager in the machine learning team at Microsoft, and Darwin's a PM and in the same organization. And we're going to talk about insanely practical patterns to jumpstart your analytics solutions. Kind of a catchy name, and I'm guessing maybe it had something to do with the people here. So everybody awake, had lunch, post-lunch coma, anyone? Maybe a couple, yeah. All right. So we'll try to snap you out of that. How many people attended Joseph Sirosh's keynote today? All right, lots of folks. So you guys heard about our vision where Azure is the cloud supercomputer for artificial intelligence and machine learning. And you heard Joseph talk about how the five patterns of intelligence solutions that we're seeing built in Azure, and we're seeing our customers build these, and we're building these ourselves. So at the very base, and I'll go over it really quick. At the very base, you heard about the intelligent database with SQL Server, and you saw the incredible power of moving the analytics directly into the database and moving analytics closer to the data. So you can score at a million transactions per second, and you saw a demo of that today, early this morning. And you saw that the database is now not just the repository for data, but it's the repository for intelligence. So we want all our customers to not just make data-driven decisions, but intelligence-driven decisions. You saw the power of the intelligent lake, and you saw case studies where you heard about incredible volumes of images and text being tagged and being analyzed in the data lake, in the Azure data lake, using the cognitive services. So you now have cognitive capabilities and the petabyte scale power of Azure Data Lake and our big data services like HDInsight and Spark being leveraged for driving intelligence into solutions. You heard about deep intelligence, where we have the Computational Network Toolkit, CNTK, Microsoft's toolkit for deep learning, and the data science virtual machines that Microsoft's building and releasing, and how those are being used together. How companies like eSmart are using the GPUs available in Azure to do deep learning. And you saw the connected drones, where each of those drones flying around were actually analyzing those video feeds in real time to figure out which of those power lines were broken. Incredible capabilities in deep learning directly built into Azure. You saw the power of bringing human in the loop and machine learning capabilities together with a partnership with Crowdflower, where you have humans producing training data for a number of use cases, and you saw humans acting as the arbitrators when the machine learning algorithm cannot make a decision or a prediction with a high value of confidence. So that machine learning system with human in the loop provides incredible capability for people, for the systems to become a lot more accurate and saves costs at the same time. You saw the capability of bots and its integration with our LUI services, the language understanding and intent services, and how you can build conversations as a platform and make and bring those two sets of services together and make that bot framework truly intelligent and capable of human-like conversations and being able to react to humans, right? So those infusing bots with intelligence. So all of this great capability built into Azure, and that's a vision, right? The cloud supercomputer for artificial intelligence and machine learning. So this is great. I got a supercomputer. How do you program an AI supercomputer, right? So that's kind of where things get a little fuzzy. Lots of great stuff, but how do I actually use it? So like any enterprising computer scientist, which I am, you look for inspiration. And so that's what I did. I got some good information there, but wasn't quite what I was looking for. So I had to broaden my search. So what is the largest supercomputer in the world? Any guesses? Something from the NSA. That's a good guess. You think it's probably something that NOAA uses. It's a good guess. The Cray supercomputers were pretty darn powerful. Technically, the largest supercomputer is actually in China, right? But I'm actually thinking a little more abstract. What is the largest supercomputer? Not necessarily a computing device. The, The brain, okay. Brain's a pretty good guess. But yes, you're right. Brain is one of them. But I'm going to go a little more abstract, right? I was obviously on something when I wrote the slides. But nature itself, if you think about nature as a vast array of information processing systems with pieces that can hold state, that's essentially the definition of a computer. It can process an enormous amount of information at scale, and you have finite state automata within it, where you can actually have one piece translate into another piece and transfer state, right? So if I have to abstract to that level and say, okay, how can I learn from nature? And the concept of learning from nature isn't new when it comes to computer design or software design, right? So if I think about nature, how does nature really program itself? Because I'm trying to figure out, how do I program a supercomputer? So if you think about nature's solutions, and nature has some incredible solutions to some really, really cool problems. If you think about honeycombs, right? It's an incredibly simple, elegant solution to provide housing for a really complex hive using a hexagonal-like structure. And this is what serves as the bee's nest, their space to live, as well as their food. A spider web, or DNA itself. The thing you'll notice among all of these incredible nature solutions are that they all have patterns, right? They're all based on patterns. The hive follows the wallpaper pattern, which is essentially a way that you can take a particular pattern and use it to layer and cover everything. And mathematicians theorize that actually the hexagon pattern that that bees use is the most efficient way of covering a space, right? And it is the strongest as well. The radial symmetry that you see in a spider web, again, based on that pattern that allows a spider to just hang out, wait for its prey to come to it, and doesn't have to go scurrying about looking for prey. I certainly don't want spiders out looking for prey. I got a fear for those things. And if you think about DNA itself, right, the building block of life, the double helix pattern, incredibly capable of generating and sustaining life and all living beings, right? It's the deoxyribonucleic acid and the nucleotides, and it's just four different nucleotides, right? The A, C, T, and G, right? And they form the basis of all human life. So all of nature itself is based on patterns. And the concept of learning from nature isn't true. All of software design is also based on patterns, right? And there's been books and tomes written on this stuff. Patterns are practical, they're reusable, and they allow you to design incredibly complex things from very basic building blocks. So now that I've set the stage, right, let me introduce our team. I'm part of a team called Algorithms and Data Science Solutions. My team works directly with Microsoft's customers. We help them build out intelligent solutions using the Microsoft Cloud Platform, the Cortana Intelligence Suite, and Microsoft R, that's the Azure AI supercomputer. And we leverage our experience, and we're doing this, we're leveraging our experience to building general-purpose intelligent solutions that are based on the design patterns and making those solutions available for use by everyone, right? So that's essentially what our team does, and that's what we're going to talk about more today. So we're seeing our customers build solutions in a different variety of use cases, and we're helping them do this, right? Improving visibility and making accurate predictions using remote monitoring, being able to monitor a tremendous amount of data coming from a wide variety of sources, getting the right products to the right places with inventory management and localized demand forecasting, offering customers exactly what they want, where they want it, with offer personalization, fixing problems proactively before they happen with predictive maintenance, and exploring new business opportunities with not just data, but intelligence-driven services, right? So these are the sets of solutions that we're seeing customers develop, and these are the sets of solutions that we are generalizing into intelligence-driven solutions for our customers. So with that, I'd like to introduce Cortana Intelligence Solutions. Our motto is easy to discover, easy to deploy, and really easy to customize. So solutions at cloud speed. We are building analytics in all these different use cases. If I were to break it down by markets, right? We're building solutions in marketing, in sales, in service, in finance, in operations, and workforce. And this is the taxonomy with which Microsoft views the world in the space that we are operating in, especially in the analytics space, right? And this is where we're seeing our customers build solutions. So the sets of solutions that we're releasing right now are service analytics, demand forecasting, and IT insights, right? So with that, all of these solutions are built on top of the Cortana Intelligence Suite. So how many of you guys have heard about Cortana Intelligence Suite before? Right, pretty good. How many of you have not heard about it before? Okay, there's a couple of folks. All right. So Cortana Intelligence, think of Cortana Intelligence Suite as Microsoft's analytics platform for big data and advanced analytics, right? And this is our intelligence platform. It has fully managed services for information management, for big data. So I'm going up from the bottom. For information management, big data stores, machine learning and analytics, incredibly capable dashboards and visualizations and interacting with your data. And then the intelligent solutions that I'm describing sit on right on top of that stack and leverage all of these capabilities in collaboration with our intelligence services, where we have the cognitive services, the bot framework, and Cortana itself for its natural voice-driven interface. So Cortana Intelligence, so you can find the solutions in the gallery, the Cortana Intelligence Gallery. If you go there right now, click on solutions, you'd be able to see it. Or if you want to take a picture of that short URL, that's a direct link to the gallery. Discover them, deploy them very quickly. So you'll be able to hear about and learn about what each solution does, what the value proposition is, what the disparate set of services and architecture that goes into actually building the solution. What is the business problem that each solution is targeting? How do you actually customize the solution after you have deployed it? Right? So discover it quickly in the gallery, deploy it in a few minutes with a few clicks. This particular one takes about 15 or 20 minutes to deploy. And then customize. You get deep, detailed instructions on customizing each of those solutions to your specific needs and your specific use cases after you're finished deploying them. So with that, I'm going to jump into a demo. So the rest of my slide, now that I've set the stage, the rest of this presentation is mostly demos. Let me switch this out. Maybe you have to come out of presentation mode.
You may have to, yeah.
All right, so this is the Cortana Intelligence Gallery, right? Gallery.cortanaintelligence.com. You come into solutions. Here's the set of solutions that we are releasing today. These are four, but we actually have a few more in there. I'm going to specifically talk about IT Anomaly Insights. So IT Anomaly Insights is a solution that, if you think about anyone who's ever run a business, run an IT service, or run their own service that they're operating in the cloud or on premises, you know that you're usually monitoring it with a tremendous amount of data. There's a lot of telemetry that usually today's operational systems and services have, right? And you want to ingest that tremendous amount of telemetry data and run real-time insights against it. And more importantly, if things are going bad, you want to know about it, right? So if you think about running any IT system, right? You're going to ingest the data, analyze it, you're going to visualize it. And most people and most IT systems tend to look at these dashboards and they tend to react to them. Most of them have rule-based systems, right? Where they have rules set up that says, hey, if my free space on the server drops below X percent, cut a ticket or raise an alarm. Or if you see the queue for services go above a particular limit, raise an alarm, right? So these are rules and threshold-based systems, right? So these aren't truly intelligent. They are intelligent in a way because they've been informed by years of human intuition. But more often than not, if there is a drastic change in the system, they're not going to react quickly enough until something's gone truly bad. So this particular solution actually has intelligence built into it via the use of an anomaly detection API, right? So if you've got key, you can use it to monitor not just business, not just specific host metrics, but any type of real-time time series data, right? Whether you've got business metrics, whether you're trying to monitor sales, or you're trying to monitor customer logins, you're trying to monitor payment failures, you're trying to monitor network usage, bandwidth, CPUs, any and all kind of data, right? So let me click on, you can come in here and click on try it now. And that what that opens, it essentially opens a dashboard, which I've preloaded here for you. You can come in here, and this particular solution is preloaded with a set of data. Let me zoom in a little bit. So in this, you've got three different scenarios that this solution is talking about. There's a resource scenario, an error scenario, and a KPI scenario. Each scenario is essentially a collection of business metrics. This specific scenario, the KPI scenario, has got 9 metrics that it's monitoring, and it's detected that there are 131 anomalies within those 9 metrics, right? Let's zoom out a little bit. So there's 131 anomalies out of the 233 different anomalies within that KPI scenario. Now, what is that actually affecting? It's affecting customers. It's affecting revenue, and has some effect on order backlog, right? So let me deep dive into one of those scenarios. I'm going to dive into the KPI dashboard. So in this dashboard, here are the different kinds. Whoops. There you go. Here are the different kinds of metrics. These are the 9 metrics that specific scenario is tagging. Now you can, this is a completely customizable unit. You can change the schema and set it to any metric and any specific kind of business that you want to monitor. So let me say I'm assuming that I want to look at failed logins. Now what's this doing is essentially saying, okay, you've got some anomalous events within your logins. Let's dive into one of those. There's a spike detected here. If I can just click it. Ah. Oh, this new mouse. All right. You can essentially see that most of these issues are coming from our customer impacting, and they're coming from the authentication service, and there are 21 different spike events. And most of them are originating from a set of prod hosts, right? There's a host, prod host 4 that has got 4 events, and a prod host 5 that has got, a prod host 3 that has 3. So you can actually deep dive within a specific scenario. What is the metric that's causing issues? What are the hosts on which it is causing issues? And if you need to go bounce. And you can customize this completely, and you can go into any different set of scenarios if you'd like. So you can try this with your own data. So let's do that. Here's the schema that this specific solution uses. You can see that it's a completely general schema. You can look at, it's got timestamps, the value of the specific metric that you're looking to monitor, the main metric, and then certain descriptions or fields around the metric, whether the host, the region, the specific scenario that you're going to tag it against, the category, and the application, right? And you've got sample files where you can try it with. So I've actually loaded another sample file in here. Completely different set of scenarios. And this is where you can actually tweak this. You can actually tweak the sensitivity of the machine learning API that you'd like to use with this scenario, and you can click update. Here's what happens when I do that. It takes a couple of minutes for it to come back because it's actually taking all the data. There's about 10,000 rows within that file, and it's making machine learning, it's making API calls for each of those rows. It takes about 30 seconds to update. But as you can see here, I've taken a completely different set of scenarios. This is infrastructure, application, and business metrics, and it's a completely different data set mapped to that same specific schema. And you can, of course, go and monitor any kinds of systems as long as you can convert them into a metric, time series value, and then some categories around that, right? So what makes this capable? What actually drives this? So here's the overall architecture of the system, right? If you were to set this up yourself, it would take you a few weeks if you knew what you were doing, or maybe up to a month, right? This actually takes a couple of minutes, about 20 minutes to deploy the whole thing, and then you can customize it to your heart's content. The architecture of this is essentially you've got real-time time series data being pumped into an Azure Event Hub, right? Now that data is then plumped through Azure Stream Analytics, which you heard about earlier today, where it is aggregated at 15-minute intervals into 5-minute intervals and stored in an Azure Blob Store, in Azure Tables. From the Blob Store, using Azure Data Factory, the data is picked up, and the machine learning API call is invoked. and it calls the anomaly detection APIs. The anomaly detection APIs writes the output of the API call into an Azure SQL database, and you can visualize the output of that database into using Power BI and or any other real-time dashboard that you'd like, right? Any other metric system that you'd like. You can also take the anomalous events, and this does that. It also pushes them into an Azure Service Bus. So let's say you want to, when an anomalous event occurs, you want to file a ticket, or you want to send a page, or you want to send an email. You can hook this up to using Azure Service Bus topics into any system that you have to take those downstream actions, right? So you can take data from any system, whether it's on-prem, in the cloud, as long as you can plumb it into Event Hub and take the output of the anomalies, the detected anomalies, and convert it into a downstream action. So you've got data converting into intelligent action, right? All of this made very simple using this Cortana intelligence solution. So this is the anomaly detection API that's using under the covers. It's been around for a year or two, just over 2 years right now. So you can actually use it for 100,000 calls a month for free. And this is, let me zoom out a little bit. So let's say I like the solution, I've tried it, I've played with it, I brought my own data, and it seemed that this is something that would work for me. I played with the sensitivities, I know that this is gonna work for me. You don't have to break it up into three different scenarios. You can send one-time series and just load a very simple file if that's what you'd like, right? But if I like it, I'm gonna come in here and I can click deploy. And this is actually gonna turn around and deploy the solution into your Azure subscription. Now, I'm already signed in, so it didn't prompt me to sign in, but it's actually gonna prompt you to sign in. So let me give this deployment a name. Okay. I'm gonna choose one of the subscriptions. Nope, not gonna deploy into production. Let's go into development subscription. And I'm gonna choose a region. I obviously tested this on Saturday. Go ahead and click Create. It's going to ask me for an API key. Now, I have an API key saved up right here. I'm going to put that in. But if you don't have an API key, the instructions for how to sign up and grab a key are right here. Right? This is the sensitivity that I'm setting for the API. You can leave this completely blank. You can change it after the covers. And this is essentially some SQL Server credentials.
All right. Show them the eye, too, yeah. So one of the nice things
really
is a feature where you can...
Password.
Oh, you didn't want to show your password. That's why I picked the different password. But you can actually see your password. If you forgot what you typed, you can click on the eye there, and it'll actually show you.
Okay. I click Next. And that's actually going to go and deploy this entire architecture pre-configured with the dashboards and the API calls into my Azure subscription. So here's actually it's going through that. I'm not going to wait. It takes about 20 minutes to deploy the whole thing. So I'm going to jump into something that's already deployed. This is what it looks like after it's deployed. Now, you get a set of instructions. Now, you get a set of customized instructions that are very specific to your use case. Or to your deployment, and you get deep instructions on GitHub, where you can go in and say, okay, I've deployed this. How do I truly customize this, right? It talks about the reference architecture. It talks about each and every component within that. It talks about how do you ingest data into this solution, how the different components within that piece are working, because it's a great thing to deploy something, but if you don't really understand how it's actually being used, you're not going to be able to customize it very much. So this actually gives you deep details into how each of those different components are working and what you do after it. So it talks about how do I send my data into the solution, how it needs to be formatted, and how you can actually monitor the progress of the pipeline. It even walks you through a data generator. So we're releasing on the same GitHub a data generator that says, great, I deployed this. I don't want to really hook it up into my real system. I want to see it in action. So this actually generates data specific to your solution, and you can plug it in and test out whether your deployment actually worked. But how do you know whether what you deployed continues to work, right? So how do you know that the system, that the monitoring system you set up is working, right? How do you need a monitor for your monitor? So we've got deep integrations with, it's kind of cool, right? We have deep information here on how do you actually set up application insights to monitor your monitoring system, right? So here's the actual set of components that got deployed into Azure as a result of this. So you can see that you've got data factories, event hubs, application insights itself, service bus, SQL Server databases, a whole set of things, right? If you were to actually deploy all these things one by one and plumb these things yourself, stuff goes wrong, it takes a long time to validate, and you're going to build and test each and every piece. Here, you're getting a complete solution out of the box, deployed within 20 minutes, right? So with that, any questions on this solution? This is actually based off of something that we've deployed at a customer site, which they're actually at about 2 to 5 million calls a month through the API, but it can scale significantly, but it can scale to about 10 to 25 million calls in a month. We do have instructions on how you get it up to significantly higher volumes.
Can you effectively feed that data back into the original SQL instance, or is that going to spin up a separate one on Azure to consume that data?
When you say spin it up into an original SQL instance, which original SQL instance?
Are you pulling the data from originally to monitor?
Oh, this is not pulling from a SQL instance. It's actually pulling in from Event Hub.
Oh, okay.
Right, so this is a real-time stream coming in.
Right,
to store the results of the instance. We'll take one more, and then we'll hold the rest of the questions till the end.
IT anomaly, is this something that can be integrated with the OMS gallery?
We're actually working with the OMS team to see how we can convert, take this capability and drive it back into OMS, as well as with Application Insights. Application Insights is a little bit different because it's usually primarily meant to monitor stuff that's already in Azure, versus this solution can be meant, it can be used to monitor anything. Right, whether it's on Azure or off Azure. So with that, actually, we've got a couple more demos. We'll hold the rest of the slides to the end, or the rest of the questions to the end. So I'll hand over to Darwin, and
push it to number one. Yep. And I'm usually not quite this often, Satya knows, but also when he started doing Zooming, I forgot that I need my Zoomers now as well at my age, so adding those in for my demo, and also got ZoomX working as well, so it'll make it a little bit easier for you guys since you're a little further away. So one of the things I want to show some of the things that we'll come back to this demo on Data Warehouse and Spark, but I want to show you a few things which are pretty cool that I want to speak to. One of the things is when you do deployments, you'll see there's a filter at the top. And if I was to use my Zoom here, I'm going to zoom in on this. In addition to what you've seen today with the IT anomaly insights, and we're going to look at the Spark and also at streaming analysis with machine learning. Two of the things that I use a great deal in a class that I teach at university back home is the data science virtual machine. So you can actually deploy multiple Linux data science virtual machines or Windows machines to use for training your own purposes, because there's a whole lot of great tools. Another gentleman in our group actually manages these instances. And on the Linux side, as an example, if you're doing a demo and you've got Windows, you've got your Mac, or in the case you've got Mac, you've got Terminal. But if you want to use something where you're using a terminal, you can essentially use one of these Linux virtual machines in the cloud as well. So you can actually deploy those. And it also, in those instructions, which Sachin showed you at the end as an example, let's just go in and look at this briefly and come back to it. But in those instructions, if we look at the Linux Data Science VM, one of the things which I think is cool to look at here is if I look at my Ignite instance that I deployed, one of the things is when you go into Azure, especially Windows Easy, you just click on Connect and Remote Desktop takes care of it for you. But if you're maybe new to Linux or don't use Linux as much, we give you all the value. This is how you connect with SSH. This is how you connect with an X2Go client. This is how you connect with PuTTY. And that can be super helpful, which is if you just go in and deploy one of these in the Azure portal, some of these things are less well explained than that. So wanted to show you that just to kind of start out. Now, what I want to get back to here is this particular solution. So this is essentially a solution where we're pulling public data, we put it up into a public blob, We, as a first step, we create a storage account. We copy that over to, into that storage account. We basically start a Spark cluster on your behalf, and again, HD Insight, in the case of most of the HD Insight clusters, you're talking 10 minutes plus to actually deploy one of those. We deploy a SQL data warehouse, and then as sort of consumption visualization pieces on the end of this, we actually have Power BI, PBX reports, and in some cases in the next demo, you can actually have a live moving dashboard in the streaming when we're gonna show Twitter, but also Jupyter notebooks that you can view through either the notebooks.azure.com or through Azure ML. So we're gonna take a closer look at this. Now you've already seen the deployment interface. The nice thing with this is that you click on deploy, it goes in and essentially has ARM templates, which are basically sort of glued together with other custom code, which allows you to basically deploy some pretty complex architectures. When we deploy the EDW Hive Spark pattern, which we just talked about, what's going to happen is you're going to open up and you're going to see that particular pattern. And with my little Linux data science VM,
you went off track.
I went off track, which I'm known for going off track. It's the educator in me. So sorry for bear with me for a second. So in here we're going to do the same thing. We're going to go look at this Spark pattern. You're going to have some directions on what you need to do next, what the, you know, what changes you have to make to Power BI, because the Power BI has certain things that need to be changed. What you need to do with the Jupyter notebook, those are all in place. So now let's go look at the output. So one of the things you can do is when you download that Jupyter notebook, and for those of you, how many in here use Chrome as a browser quite often? Okay, and how many use Edge? Okay, and IE. Okay, so one of the things is Edge, for some reason, actually, when you download a PBIX file, it turns it into a zip file. And so you'll have to change the extension and say, no, this is a PBIX file. And it does other fun things with IPython notebooks as well. So just to be aware of that if you're using Edge. But you basically download this Million Song Spark Jupyter notebook. You upload it into Azure ML. And then basically take the parameters. So you can see here, here's the name of my server, which I just created. Here's the database name. My username and password are here as well. So you basically are going to change these parameters in the notebook. And then you'll see it's going to create a bunch of stuff for you. Just to kind of show you how this works after we clear all the output. So we'll clear all the output so you've got nothing in here. You basically fill out this portion with the parameters that you get in the output instructions and put in the username and password, which you actually defined when you started the pattern. And then if we were to run all of these, if we just say run all, you'll see basically what it's going to do is it's going to go through, and these are Python notebooks in this case, but with Jupyter you can use R, you can use Python 2, Python 3. So this has pandas and NumPy and SciPy and all the different things that you need. And then you can basically go through and basically do analysis right here in the notebook. One of the things which is fantastic about notebooks is it's a combination of sort of a BI tool, so where you can do visualizations, but then you can also write code, and so you kind of have the best of both worlds, the ability to have code and graphics right there, and the ability to kind of experiment back and forth with it. So you can see here, you can do some visualizations, some various charting, and these are all in here as samples, and so if you're brand new to Jupyter Notebooks as well, you've got a sample of something to start with a data set and with a scenario that you want to look at. So that's kind of that piece. The other part here, just to kind of wrap this up with the Power BI side, is there's actually a Power BI here. Let me open this up. So there's a Power BI PBX file, which you can open up in Power BI Desktop. If you don't have Power BI Desktop, you can go out to the Power BI site and download it. It's a free download. Then you can basically open this up, make changes to the information. So if we go data source settings, in this case, it's actually using a database. In the case of the stream analytics, we're actually going against a storage account. So you could actually put in your storage account and your key to be able to access that. And then once you change the credentials in here, you can essentially publish that up, put it up onto Power BI, and then you're going to basically see what that looks like here, kind of in a dashboard sense, and we can click on the dashboard, which will take us to the report. And one of the things which is interesting about this data set, especially if you're, a Beatles fan or something like that, you can see here, and again, I'll let me zoom in. You can see that song themes, 323 songs about love, so a lot for, and probably there's probably others that have breakup in here as well, so it's probably a little bit of both, but you can see baby, blues, girls, heart, life.
Are these 323 or are they 323,000?
Probably the 1,000. I'm not sure. I can't remember if actually what the scale on it is. If it was 1,000, we'd probably
have a million songs. So
it is a million songs. Yeah, very true. So this guy, my graphics could be off. I may have to have a look and see what's behind that. But anyway, so that kind of gives you an idea. So you're starting with, and this particular pattern actually deploys in about 25 minutes. We will be releasing additional patterns. We have another one which. Does not use Spark. It's a little bit of a different scenario, and that actually deploys in several minutes. We have some other patterns, so anywhere from, say, 5 minutes to 25 minutes, depending on the complexity and the services used. The great part about it, and Sachin showed it earlier as well, is back here, when you look at the details, you can actually click and see this, and in the next demo, what I'll do is I'll actually kick one of these off. All the different steps as you're doing your deployment, because not always does a deployment go well. You may be using one of your subscription and you've run out of SQL Server core or HD Insight cores, or you've maxed out your SQL servers on your subscription. It'll actually give you an error and tell you that, and then you can go delete some things or request for increases through support. Sometimes we actually have links which are going to take you right into the Azure portal and show you where the good things are happening and also where the failures are happening as well.
Yeah. And the reason we created this pattern is because for a lot of people, getting started with analytics in Azure starts with data warehousing, right? A lot of people say, hey, I've got to do all this. I've got to build all these machine learning models. And then the first question is, well, where's my data? And the data is usually sitting in an on-premise data warehouse, or the customer doesn't have a data warehouse, and so they're thinking about setting up the data warehouse as the first thing, right? So this pattern really talks the customer through that journey. It's like, okay, you've got raw data coming in, and it's in so and so format. What are you going to use it? How are you going to load it in? Well, are you going to load it at one time? Yeah, and then are you going to do incremental loads? Yeah, both of those scenarios will get accounted for in this pattern, right? Okay, now that the raw data is in, you've got to process it with some engine. This pattern shows you how to process it using the Spark engine. You could have a similar pattern that shows Azure Data Lake, a similar pattern that shows HD Insight, or using SQL Data Warehouse itself. All right, now I've got a set of processed, curated, cleansed data, maybe even aggregated to some extent. I'm going to load it up into a SQL Data Warehouse because I want a SQL-like interface against it. And I want the power of a relational database, a data warehousing system against it. So this talks about how do you use stuff like Polybase to load that data in a very high performant manner into a really powerful engine like SQL Data Warehouse, which is elastic in itself, fully managed. So a data warehouse running in the cloud, fully elastic, fully managed, and you can scale it within seconds itself. Right? So this pattern really talks you through that entire journey of getting the data, processing it, cleansing it, transforming it, loading it, setting up the entire pipeline to do this in a repeatable manner. And once the data is loaded, hooking up visualizations against it for regular BI analytics, and if you're a data scientist, hooking up a notebook like Jupyter or hooking it up against Azure ML and doing analytics against it and machine learning against it. So that end step of machine learning and analytics against your data usually starts with this beforehand.
Yeah.
Right. So one more demo.
Yeah, the next thing we wanted to show you was the streaming demo. So I started this last night around 10:30. We thought actually today we could probably use the debates, but politics is always not always good stuff to look at for these type of things. But I tried.
Yeah. I was told no.
Because of the debates tonight. But basically, what you do is when you kick off this pattern, you put in the keywords that you want. I put in some keywords which were kind of Ignite focused. How many people have actually used the Twitter streaming API and got an OAuth token and so forth before? Okay, some people have. So if you go into the pattern, it actually gives you directions on the fact that how many people have a Twitter account, I guess I should ask as well. Okay, so most of you have a Twitter account. It's very easy. You go in and you create a Twitter application.
You should really ask how many people use their Twitter.
Oh, that's true. And I don't use my Twitter account a lot, but actually for certain things, Twitter is still one of the best ways to get get news about different things. But once you set up your application, it's going to ask you for essentially an OAuth consumer key and a consumer secret. It's going to ask you for your access token and your access token secret. And once you go get those and put in your keywords, you just click on next, and then this will kind of show you the deployment experience. Sachin ran through this, and it showed the different steps in this. This one takes around 9 or 10 minutes to run. Each of these steps, as I mentioned, you can actually go and say what's happening. So this one that's creating a workspace, it's actually going out and creating an Azure ML workspace through an ARM template, and then it's actually copying a file into that, and then it's actually basically getting an Azure ML experiment. It's running the experiment and then deploying it as a web service in this. But if you want to see what's happening at this particular step, and I'll use my zoom in here as well. Zoomed into the portal too quick. Here it comes. So you can see here are all the various steps that are happening. And if one of these steps fails, for instance, as I mentioned, if there's a failure due to a quota reason or another particular reason, it'll take you right to that scenario, and you'll be able to see it. So in here, if I can get back to my, we'll come back to this. At any of these steps, you can actually click on them and find out what's happening in that particular, whether it's a custom web job that's doing some work, or whether it's an ARM template. You'll be able to get information from the portal on how that's working or and whether it was successful or not. So the output of this one, and this may be of interest, is here's some information from Ignite. So since last night when I turned this on, it was barely moving. And then when I checked it this morning, there actually is, there's been over, 93,000 tweets on these topics.
It's doubled in the last 2 hours.
It has. So that means that some people here are using Twitter. So that's good. If not even folks in this room, somebody is. So we've got 53,000 tweets about Microsoft, which of course could be outside of the event. We've got 17,000 specifically about MS Ignite. We've got 13,000 about Azure. Those are the top three. You can kind of see here over time. Also, let's click on this and look at the report. And I've got a couple of tabs on this report as well. If we want to look at the sentiment here, and we kind of blow this up, you can see that the average sentiment for MS Ignite is actually higher than it is for Azure. Cortana is higher. So there's really three things that actually currently have higher sentiment than Microsoft as a keyword by itself. So this scenario is really easy to set up. We give you directions on what to do. For instance, one of the things with Power BI when you're using streaming analysis, and was anybody here for the session right prior to this? There was a session on streaming, and maybe one to check out. So if you haven't used stream analysis before in Event Hubs, the session right prior to this one was good, and I'm not sure what the name was. But we actually give you links, deep links into the Azure portal, and you have to go in and authorize your Power BI account so that it's actually going to send real-time data to the Power BI portal, as an example. If you do not have a student or a company account that has access to Power BI, we have the PBIX file, so you can actually query the storage account. And if you want to modify it, you can easily add a database, add some additional outputs, and actually start streaming some of that information in those tweets into a relational database, either the data warehouse or just Azure database. And so you've got lots of options that are already hooked up, and then you've got some options that you can add to it as well.
Right. Okay. So the reason we put together this pattern was we realized a lot of customers have scenarios where they want to do streaming data. They want to ingest streaming data. And not just ingest streaming data, but they wanted to actually do machine learning against that stream of data, right? So we said, okay, we could write a streaming generator, like a data generator, and do the whole do the same thing, but Twitter's more fun, right? And you don't have to do the work and, software developers inherently are lazy, so we just said, okay, let's hook it up to this fire hose and hopefully the tweet's coming in and there's nothing obscene in them. So we never showed you any of the text.
Yeah, and the beauty of this solution as well is this is one of our older solutions, is the first time that I did a demo on this before we did a lot of early work on this, it took 15 minutes just to do the demo because you had to do something in the old portal, something in the new portal, and it was kind of, even if you knew where you were going, it was kind of haphazard. Now, if it wasn't for the fact that you know, some of the things take longer to run. The actual process of running it is you know, probably 3 minutes with 7 minutes of service, sort of getting start up time. So it's really ended up being one of our sort of charter patterns, and it's really shown the improvement of the before and the after.
All right. So we talked about three different patterns within this demo. There's obviously more out there. Go explore. And I actually would challenge you that if you're interested in politics, go use this pattern, set up your own streaming system, and go monitor the debates and see what you think. And obviously, you can do it for the debates. You can do it for Ignite. But it takes a few minutes to set up, and you can go check it out. So for the IT anomalies, so what we want to do with the system, with the Cortana Intelligence Solution System, is not just create our own patterns and help customers implement them, but we're also partnering directly with partners who are implementation partners who can actually help you make these patterns real and customize for you. So if you're a do-it-yourselfer, you can definitely dive in and use the instructions, but if you'd rather work with a partner, we're actually going to be pre-qualifying select partners for this. And so if you're a partner who wants to do this, come talk to us. Or if you are looking for partners for specific things, we can definitely help put you in the point you in the right direction. So for the IT Anomaly Insights pattern that I described, we've pre-qualified two partners and we'll be working with more. Neil Analytics and Empire, they're both great partners who do a lot of analytics solutions in the space. So the summary for this is, go ahead, try it now. Go set up your streaming pattern or a data warehousing pattern. Deploying the solutions in your Azure subscriptions is extremely easy. Discover, try, deploy, customize. You can build an experiment with a number of analytics services, and you can quickly start up, jumpstart your analytics solutions. And we'll be adding a lot of solutions quickly. We've got a whole backlog of about 20 or 25 odd solutions that we'll start rolling out. So there you go. Go program your AI supercomputer with Cortana Intelligence Solutions. Thank you.
Yeah. So we've got time for questions too. So
we've got
10 minutes at least.
13 minutes.
Still. Yes, and maybe for this one, so we don't have to repeat it. If you can step up to the mic's probably good at this point. If you're willing to do that.
Or we'll repeat it.
Or go ahead and say it, and we'll repeat it. Okay, sounds good.
Stream Analytics is one of the component services. So if you think about Cortana Intelligence Solution, it's essentially a collection of services with a predefined reference architecture. So it's a best-in-class architecture that we've come up with after working with a number of customers in the space. So using Stream Analytics the right way, right? Instead of you having to figure all of that stuff out, this gives you a predefined architecture that you deploy. So like in this case, you can see that there's Event Hub and there's Stream Analytics, right? This is the one that's ingesting real-time Twitter data. So it does use all those component services and gives you an Uber solution built on top of that. Yeah. In the data warehousing pattern. So Spark's is actually being used there to cleanse and curate the data, the million song data set. It's obviously got some bad data within it. And it's also being used to do some aggregations. And I do believe that we have a set of partners who work with Microsoft in the training space. And actually, I met someone earlier on, I think the name was Value Amplify, and they actually work in that space in training. And we've got actually, he left that question. I accepted no bribes. It's just being nice to a partner. All right, any other questions? Yes. Streaming Insights is not available on-premise. Streaming Insights is a fully managed Azure service. Was that your question? Can I implement Streaming Insights on-prem?
Inside a SQL Server, there's a streaming product inside a SQL Server.
Oh, within SQL Server.
Yeah.
So, you can implement an anomaly detection algorithm. Let's say if you've got the core algorithm, and it's implemented in SQL Server R services, you can implement that natively directly within SQL Server 2016. And that's actually a good idea. Maybe we should release a pattern within that space for on-prem customers. All right. Sounds like that's a pattern request. Will do.
This gentleman here in the green.
So going back to your Twitter example for monitoring the debates tonight, let's take that on a global scale. How well does this work with multi-languages?
In this case, so this is a solution to help you get started. It's not a SaaS offering, right? So in this case, what it's doing is it's taking a sample experiment from the Azure Machine Learning Gallery. If you go into the gallery and search for Twitter, you'll find sample experiments. It takes that experiment, copies it into your workspace, right? Creates a workspace for you, copies that experiment, operationalizes that web service experiment into a web service, and then uses the web service in real time, right? So your capability, language detection, is as good as that experiment was. Now, if you wanted to extend it to, this one currently is only English, but if you wanted to extend it to Portuguese or Spanish or French, all you're going to do is swap out the experiment. Swap out the experiment, deploy the web service, and the rest of the pipeline still works. So that's the customizability component within it. There's another question there.
Good.
Yep, back there.
Thanks. Would you be willing, or is Microsoft going to publish any white paper that talks about the underlying algorithms that drive this and what type of numerical implementation? Because some of our applications are highly regulated, and we are not allowed to use certain open source or other components unless we know that it's gone through a series of benchmark tests and it's qualified. So if some of that information could be made available, it might actually help drive faster adoption of the patterns.
So you're talking about the actual algorithms under the covers? How are they implemented?
I mean, if you're doing, say, for example, kernel PCA or something like that for anomaly detection, right? And if you could... Again, we're not asking for anything proprietary, but if you could at least educate the public on what type of algorithm or philosophy that you're using, because most of them are known. We just need to know what's behind the hood.
Right.
And then we can find out whether or not those methods are acceptable industry practice for that use case.
Yeah, so in the instructions for the for this use case, so that's a good question. What's the guts of this, right? So this anomaly detection API actually uses the Martingale algorithm and under the covers. And I know Jakob is here, he's the director of data science, who's my peer, and he can keep me honest. His team is the one who produced the API. So that actually is documented within the anomaly detection API's help page, and that help page is linked off of those customized solutions that you get at the end of the deployment. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, yes?
Yeah, what about the time series?
Sorry, say it again.
Time series database. A question about time. Yeah, maybe step up to the mic, sir.
Yeah, this is to when you collect data from sensors.
Yeah.
It's about having a time series database. This is something that is missing on the, we think it's missing on the.
Right. I interpret that as two questions. Will this support time series database itself? Or can I actually hook this up to time series data coming from an IoT sensor, and will that IT anomaly insight solution still work? Is it the first question or the second?
Okay, it's the first question because we already do the second one. So
okay.
For the first one is something to have out of the box on Azure itself.
Yeah, I've heard the request for time series databases in Azure. I'm not aware of any efforts in that space. But I can definitely take that question and get back to you if you give me your email.
I think there are some partner, like OSIsoft may be available as a partner on Azure. Are you talking like a historian?
We work with them.
You work with OSIsoft already. Okay. Yeah. Jakob?
Well, since I'm here, maybe it's a quick comment here. I think the one quick comment is, I mean, the specific pattern here is aimed at like a real-time log analytics where you're feeding it into streaming events into an anomaly detection service. So the side I want to mention is if you go to the expo, at the Microsoft, we have one of the screens there that says IoT and machine learning. There's someone there who can walk you through in detail. You can really have a one-on-one discussion about this specific use case.
Do you know the booth?
It says IoT and analytics.
Microsoft booth.
Big Microsoft. There's a lot of little stations.
Okay.
One of them is IoT and data insights. And there you can have really a one-on-one discussion about this one. And I think that for this session, the idea of these solution deployments, it's really a vehicle for you to instantiate a template that can be you can stamp out a lot of the same solution several times and have everything together that you do that, right? So it's really about making it easy to deploy a complex solution.
Yeah, it's like to get up to speed, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, and to Jakob's point as well, we'll be at there's an advanced analytics and IoT station within the event area for where the demos and the demo fair is. And we'll be there all week if you guys want to have a look at these. And of course, you can go try it yourself as well.
All right, any other questions? Go in once.
Do you have any template on deep learning?
Good question. So we are working on a template in that space. I can't give too many details right now, but yes, there will be something coming around using the data science virtual machine for deep learning and doing large scale training, like we're using parameter sweeps and using batch. Okay, any other questions? Going twice. Sold. All right. Thanks, everyone. Everybody.